we are in Texas, and we've flown in this morning to Texas, and we've been up since 2 a.m.
Wow.
And now we're in San Antonio. So we flew into Dallas, now we're in San Antonio.
Well, you certainly dedicated.
And then to top it off, I don't have my computer, so I am coming to you live from my phone just to get my dear friend's interview, Jacques Anthony. I could not miss today. Didn't have time to get glammed up, but hey, I'm here.
You're here.
That's what's up.
I'm going to step aside.
How is everybody doing, first off? How is everybody doing?
Great.
Wonderful. Well, I want to introduce to everybody that's listening worldwide this amazing artist that you see before you. He is a songwriter. I've been knowing him for, I know, 20 plus years.
Yes.
And he's been in the industry for a very, very long time. He goes by the name of Jacques Anthony, and he has a story and an inspirational story. He has been in this journey for a long time. He's going to throw down some amazing nuggets. So I'm introducing to everybody all over the world, Jacques Anthony.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, you know, the Jacques Anthony, explain that to the listeners that know you.
Well, I was, as other people who know me by Khalil, my birth name is Jacques Anthony. Mm-hmm. My mother changed my name when I was four when she converted to Islam. Mm-hmm. So I've been Muslim my whole life. So it was a company back in 2014 that was talking about taking me overseas. Mm-hmm. And at that time with all the Islamophobia and stuff going on, they were like, well, look, if you leave here, we know you're American. Mm-hmm. When you come back, they look at your name and they're going to be like, you're not from here. You're from, you know, whatever, you know, Saudi, Libya or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I reverted back to my birth name because it was the original name my mother gave me. So mm-hmm. I was like, yo, I'm going to go back to this. People who know me like yourself, I'm like, you can call me whatever. Especially like my mother. I was like, you know, you gave birth to me. You can call me what you want to go. But I was like, I wanted to make sure she knew I wasn't doing it to be spiteful or anything of that nature. So that's how I ended up going back to my birth name.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for me because I know you, I've been calling you Khalil for years. So you heard me. But I was like, you know, but I'll definitely call you Jacques Anthony. Let me tell you, I knew you from We Kicks It All Night, that jam from way, way back. And, when I tell you that jam, Houston, boy, you made Houston proud with that jam.
I appreciate that.
That was just the tip of the iceberg. You have written so much music since then, and you've collabed with so many people. What started this journey for you at the beginning?
It was group stuff at first, but then, you know, other people, you start to see that it was more about different things than just being in love with the music. So from there, it led me into songwriting. Of course, like, you know, I went into the Army, so I did stuff in the Army. And then the writing really took a different place. You know, I always felt like pursuing music and getting music out there. I was like, the truth can get told when you're doing your own stuff. And I actually did We Kicked It with, Roy Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
He produced,
Roy Anthony?
Yeah, Chip. Really? Yeah, he produced We Kicked It. So I co-wrote it with him. My best friend in New Orleans had introduced me to him, and mm-hmm. we've been friends. Me and Chip have been friends ever since. So seeing what he did writing wise, it definitely made me want to write more. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's what really got me, into writing, getting into school, going to, Berklee College of Music, being around so many great and talented musicians, you know, going to a school where Quincy Jones, Layla Hathaway, John Mayer, and a host of other people went to, it really pushed me to want to become better, especially when you see a game all day, every day. And then fast forward to me being in Nashville, and in December of this year, I finished my commercial music degree at Belmont. Mm-hmm. And that's on the other side of the house. Country songwriters to me are some of the best songwriters ever. And the things that I've learned from either Grammy nominated songwriters or people who have Grammys, mm-hmm. and the things that they've imparted to me, the knowledge they've imparted to me, I've taken that and implemented even more with what I do going forward. And then technology, you know, like mm-hmm. I was sharing with you, technology has changed. And I tell people all the time, there are some people in this business who are upset about it, but I tell them like this, you either embrace technology or you get left by technology. Choose mm-hmm. accordingly. Mm-hmm. And with this AI phenomenon and everything that's going on right now, it's, you know, for someone like myself who songwrites, it's streamlined mm-hmm. my creative process. And not only has it streamlined it, but it's elevated it in such right. a way that you can cut out certain things. I know as artists, it's, me and you particularly, having mm-hmm. either beg people for tracks or beg people to get songs. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to have to learn how to do this myself. Because I was like, one of my mentors at school that told me, especially in Nashville, he was like, the people in this town who make money aren't the singers. Mm-hmm. He was like, it's the songwriters. And I was like, okay. And he broke that down, how much money can be made just from songwriting alone, not even touching the stage. Wow. I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I gotta get into this. Because I was like, there are people in Nashville that's walking around as multimillionaires that you don't even know who they are, but you're singing mm-hmm. the song that they wrote. And I, at this point in my life, I'm like, you ain't got to know me. The mortgage know me. The electric bill know me. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm at with, you know, learning. I was like, my mother always told me, the best job that you could have is a job that you'd be willing to do for free and get paid for. Mm-hmm. And that's what mm-hmm. music has always been to me. And then when you run into the trials and tribulations of, like, a particular ailment could take your gift from you,
right?
And not and make it so you can't sing no more.
Yep.
I was like, it makes you look at things a completely different way. When God facilitates ways for you, you're like, okay, if I can't do this way, my mind is still here. My songwriting is still here. That creative possibility is still there. Even if I couldn't do it for myself no more, I could do it for other people. So I started looking at it that way, like, yo, you're going to expand as a songwriter, not just as a singer. You're going to expand as a storyteller and do what you can to become the best storyteller that you can. So that's what I've been doing a lot as of lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I tell you, well, yesterday or the day before when I reached out to you, you told me that you have so many songs in the vault. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
the songs you have.
Yeah. I'm sitting at least on 150 songs.
That's amazing. And the songs that you have written for me, I can't wait to record them. Oh
my God, I can't wait to hear you put your love on those things.
I'm gonna put my spin on that other one, but You told when you came to me, you said, Jinda, I got the perfect song for you, because I know your voice. I got the perfect song for you, and when I heard it, I said you embodied every person that pretty much inspired me through my musical journey in the lyrics of the song.
You've always been one of the most talented singers I know, and I was like, your voice needs to have that song to where it could represent all the colors that you have to offer with your voice. And I was like, there's so much you have to offer with your voice. And I was like, I know, I've seen it live. So I was like, nah, I was like, I got to do something. And I was like, I was happy when I was really happy I was able to do that.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. You know, I will tell you that, you know, during this journey, you have people that are in your life for a season, and you have people in your life for a reason. And I definitely know one of the key reasons as to why you are in my life is because I'm going to see you go to that top and you're going to see me go there as well. And I do believe that you have to push each other and you have to stay close knit to people that have no animosity and also aren't jealous of your gift, because sometimes you can have people in your circle, you know, thank God I don't have now, but have in your circle that are definitely not happy for you if you get bigger than they are.
Correct.
Or grow, you know. So can you give me an example of you being in the midst of people in your circle that feel some kind of way because you have evolved so much as an artist?
You know, when you go through people calling you, you know, Christopher Williams wannabe and, you know, this and this, you get those things and you like, it hurts initially. But I cling to one thing my grandfather told me, and he said, you'd be lucky if the number of people you can call your friend, you can count on one hand. So I made my circle smaller. I put people who I know, when they come to me and they give me constructive criticism, I know it's coming from the best place. It's not coming from a place as they're trying to compete with me. Because we all realize there's a big enough pie for everyone to get a slice. Nobody listens to one artist. Me and you could do a show and I would tell people the same thing. Hey, by my girl's project and by mine. We both got something unique and distinct to offer. But to the people who want to turn back around and, you know, be jealous, I was like, when you get to a point, especially like what I'm dealing with right now, you know, being misdiagnosed for almost a decade.
Is that something you want to talk about?
Yeah, that's. I was like,
yeah,
you know.
I want to. That's definitely, let's tap into that because I can't believe that.
Yeah, when you're dealing with, when you give this country a blank check called your life, and then you get medically gaslit to the point that you could have died many times over. When you go back and you look and see how God spared you. And, you know, I look at my blood, my A1C levels, you know, because I have type 1 diabetes, but they have been treating me for type 2 diabetes for almost a decade. And it could have killed me. I'm not understating that, it is factual. I had an 11 A1C. I had a 14.7 A1C, blood sugar over 560. So what I'm saying is factual. I know this because I've had lawyers substantiate it, because I'm in the process of suing the VA. So, but it nearly took my voice away from me. So I was like, you're dealing with things. I'm like, I didn't graduate to school. I don't went to two of the most prestigious, you know, been blessed to attend two of the most prestigious music colleges in the United States. To be medically gaslit and you know, literally be put in a situation where you took what is most valuable to me that God gave me and take it away. Luckily, God saved me in spite of other people and helped me put, you know, like I told the doctor, I said, gone are the days where you tell someone something and they take it at face value. I said, we have AI technology now. What I may be ignorant of, I can now educate myself now. Not that I'm going to be an expert, but I can educate myself and about what my condition is. And when I find out what you did was almost a decade long misdiagnosis, and you tried to medically gaslight me for it and make it seem like it was, I mean, I literally had a doctor go, hey, you know, we believe your type 2 diabetes is flipping into type 1, which is medically impossible. This is what a doctor told me. I was like, not only did you say that to me with a straight face, and I took it at face value, then I went and studied and found out it is medically impossible. It is infeasible. I was like, you tried to get gaslight me? No problem. I'm like a pit bull now. I said, I'm not going to let this go. You could have killed me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you could have took me from my family and my children. I was like, okay, you know, I stopped my journey. Now, you know, this, you know, so, I think we may have had some technical difficulties.
There we go.
Okay, got you. So okay. I was, you know, when you find out, and this is a new battle, but I've been told, you know, my case may be one of the most precedent law stating cases in tort history right now, because my case goes back almost a decade. So, you know, we're going to see how it works out, and I mean, I'm going to let God take care of that. But I'm grateful that he, you know, he put me in a position to where my gift wasn't taken from me. I've been in recovery, working every day, getting things back. So I'm grateful, prayerful, and blessed with that. So
you know what? My prayers are continue to go out to you, my brother, because I can't even imagine, you know, not being able to sing. You know, as a singer, you get scared when you even get a cold, and you get laryngitis or hoarse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're praying, your voice comes back, and I can't even imagine having that gift that God gave you be taken away from you. And also for that malpractice, your life, you wouldn't be sitting right here before me now.
Correct.
That's wow.
You know, yeah, this is God. You know, when you are able to go back and look over your medical records, and then you see, you know, like a lawyer just pointed out, the particular times I could have lost my life because of what my levels were, my A1C was, and you see that God's mercy and grace was provided to you, and he saved you in spite of other people, you know, trying to get over. You know, even to the point when my blood work came back, they still kept me annotated in the system as type 2. Even though now
they covered, but
it's hard to do when you turn back around and you have blood work that says your GAD antibodies are 440 times over normal. You're 1.2 over 1.1. You know, my pancreas is about to stop making insulin. So I was like, you can't really hide behind that. Even because when I went to the patient
advocate. Bad connection.
Okay, can you hear me now or no?
It's like you're kind of glitching on me, and you sound a little robotic on me.
Okay.
Yeah. Sound good now.
Okay. Yeah, because I have a clear signal over here. Okay. So I was like.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see, you know, how it works out. You know, God willing, everything will work out.
You know what? I'm going to back on as well. So when we're in a better area,
okay,
we can talk more in depth. So we're going to continue to talk. We're going to continue to do this interview and see it through, because the devil ain't going to win on this one. And I just know that you inspire a lot of people. You know, you get those people that watch you from afar, and they're the ones that don't really want to like anything you're doing, but you know they're watching everything you're doing at the same time. How many albums do you have? I know you have quite a bit of music out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge repertoire of music.
Yes, I have. So, well, I have two. Go ahead.
I know last time we talked, you have a Southern Soul song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a Southern Soul project that it is finished being put together. I just got to get it produced out. But I also have a new country album. And something about Southern Soul made me think about how I was going to approach country. And I'm like, we know we have a way that we talk. we have a way to rephrase right. in words that we say. And I'm like, I wanted to put a country album together, what me and my best friend call country soul, and put that together.
Love it.
And that talks and phrases the way we talk. Like when me doing country, I'm like, I want to sound like how a black man would sound. I'm not trying to, not that I have a problem with, you know, how Caucasians sound. That's not what it is. Something that is unique, that is embedded in us and how we say something, the points that we convey. I want a project that symbolizes that. And I have that now. So that's in the works right now. I can't wait till that comes out. Because it's a perfect blend.
Last song you had, that was beautiful. And I already knew. I mean, you can sing. We can sing any genre of music. Just put it that, you know, and you are vocals. So to hear the country, that's definitely something that I want to tap into. But can you tell me, was there any type of training that you had to go through to learn how to enunciate? Particularly when it comes to country, because you have to have that, you have that natural draw anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
being from Texas and Louisiana, being my family's from Texas and Louisiana, like you said, we have natural Southern stuff there. But the country, what was different about country is they don't care about range. Mm-hmm. See, with R&B, it's like, you know, ooh, all the runs and all the riffs. All the country stuff, I had to drop either a whole step or a half step down, because all they care about is the story. They don't care about how many runs and stuff you can do. And to me, I tell people all the time, it's actually easier for me to sing country than it is for me to sing R&B, because it's not as taxing on your voice. There's a pocket that you have to stay in country, but I was like, it's easier to me voice wise because you get to, it's almost like you're talking and have a conversation with someone. So I was like, that's what I had to learn. I had written songs.
I ain't gonna put you on the spot, but I am gonna put you on the spot. Give me an example of a line that you would say. Like if I were to say a line to you, it's any line. Make it into a country line that you would sing.
A woman like her, you don't find every day. So if you got one, better treat her that way. 'Cause a queen like her won't settle for less. She move with grace, got them all paying respect.
Anthony, y'all, that is Jock, boy, telling you. You know what? Somebody spot on. If they're just tuning in, we had some technical issues, which is okay. We're gonna have them come back again at a later date. But let me tell you, if somebody wants to book Jock Anthony, are you still doing shows and you're going from city to city?
How can
they reach you?
They can reach me on Facebook, or they can reach my father figure mentor handles my booking and stuff too. So I was like, you can reach him. His info will be on my page, so they can do that as well. Or Dr. Cedric Harnett, I'm working with him too in the process of doing some shows in Vegas. So you can reach out to him too, and you can find him on my page as well.
So, what's coming up? Do you have anything that you haven't mentioned that's coming up for you?
Me and Cedric just talked last night. So, there's maybe a particular residency type of situation that'll be going on in Las Vegas. So, we're working on that right now. Other than that, I'm trying to finish up these music projects and get these singles done. I have two singles, one which is on the R&B Southern Soul thing, and another one that's on the Country Soul thing. So I'm working on getting those completed as we speak. Well, the one I just sung for you is from a song I have called She Worth That. So that's
written by you?
Yeah, written by me.
All right. Well, I'm going to mention, I usually open the show by mentioning upcoming shows that I have. Thank everybody that came out for the Mother's Day show in Augusta, Georgia, Saturday. This following Saturday, I will be in Pascagoula, Mississippi, doing a Tina Marie, Patti LaBelle tribute, and I'll be doing some of my original material as well. And then you can reach me, Albany, Georgia. I will be there as a headliner for the show that's coming up in Albany, Georgia. So if you know, if you want to know the information, please go to my page, any of my social media pages. The flyers are on there. I just want to say, it's been a long time coming to have you on my show. And I have only had this show for 9 weeks, and it has been growing and growing and growing. For the people that don't tune in now, this is a 24 hours thing. This keeps going and going and going. And everybody has been talking about it and sharing. And I am so grateful that you took the time out of your day to sit and chat with me. 30-minute Thursdays. You know how we do it, in and out. And I definitely would love to have you back to talk to you again.
I'd love to be back, and I thank you for having me. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes. And do you have any person that you'd like to work with in the future? Who is that ultimate for you?
The ultimate? Chris Stapleton.
I can see
that's,
it.
That's my dream work. That's my dream work. That's my dream scenario, working with him.
I love
what he does. I love what he does. I love the soulfulness. I love everything about him, his humbleness. So he's definitely my dream scenario of who I want to work with.
I want to tell the listeners, if they don't know, I know who you can shine. Some Teddy Pendergrass, and I know you can sing some Christopher Williams. And I'm telling you, if you close your eyes, you definitely will be thinking that they're the actual person. But he's absolutely amazing singing, these two people. I can't wait to see you sing again. I can't wait to see you perform again. It's been a very long time. I feel like we haven't seen the very best of Jacques Anthony yet. And it's coming.
God willing, most definitely.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to tell all the listeners out there, we will be back next week at the same time. And I will be at home, of course. And we're going to have an amazing show. And I want to also tell listeners out there, it is okay for you to support another fellow artist. Show up to their shows. Pay the ticket to get in to go see them. Buy a CD. Buy a flash. Download the music. I promise you, it will not dim your shine at all.
Nope.
It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. In fact, it's going to enhance it. Do you have anything in closing to tell and to uplift, inspire upcoming artists? Do you have anything you'd like to tell?
It goes back to what you just going to say. I live by the phrase, one does not truly believe until one wishes for his sister or his brother what he wishes for himself. The same success that you'd want for yourself, you should want for other people.
Amen.
And so that's what I live by. I was like, I want to see you shine just the same way I want to. Our whole thing is to try to gain success and to use what God has given us in the best way possible. I feel if we do that, I'm like, we're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. So this has been an amazing, amazing journey. And I wouldn't change anything about this journey, because you know what? I'm getting better and better each and every day. And you're never too old to learn. Keep on learning.
You're never, like my mother had a magnet on her refrigerator that says, it's never too late to be what you might have been.
Mm. That's right. That's right. I call living in your truth.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. So thank you again. And this has been an amazing 30-Minute Thursdays on Soul to Soul Sit Down with your girl, the Lady Songbird Jinda. My special guest is music scholar, songwriter, male vocalist extraordinaire, Jacques Anthony.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. You're a blessing.
You too.
Has been amazing, amazing.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Great, great, great interview. And guys, come back tonight for Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast right here on The Buzz. Studio W, your global radio network. Hey, Jinder, enjoy your day.
The only games he wants to play, a late night with me one-on-one. Yeah, he works real hard, and he brings it all home. Always keeps a smile on my face, don't have to worry about him doing me wrong. Yeah, I got me a can-do kind of man, who treats me like the queen. And a gentle touch, knows how to hold me tight, loves me so much. When the world gets tough, he's my rock, my shield. And any battle, he won't.